Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f- So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to the Raptors Over Everything live call-in show. Presented by KFC. I'm your host, Wayne Liu. I'm joined, as always, by my fellow co-host, Josh Hart. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. How you doing, Will?
I'm doing well. I'm very warm because we decided to join in every other Toronto sports media gag and wear scarves. Look, we had this idea earlier.
We just don't record on Thursdays.
Yeah, our show did not record on Thursdays. So I like your scarf.
I like your scarf as well.
Thank you. It's very warm and definitely mine.
as is mine.
Yeah, there you go. So I actually had two scarves, but that was just way too hot though. Just keep it in my pocket like OG.
Yeah, I'm going to take this off at some point. Lots to talk about, though. The Raptors have been on a 12-game win streak. Shout out to Alex Wong for predicting it.
Yep.
We wouldn't be here without you.
Okay.
The trade deadline is coming past. The Raptors made no big moves. But we're all terrified that Masai's leaving.
Yeah, like, I'm sure we'll talk about that a little bit. I think it's mixed emotions. It's just such an unpleasant topic to talk about. It's just uncomfortable to talk about it. But there is a lot of fire, or there's a lot of smoke there.
There's a lot of smoke.
It's a little curious that there's so much written about the subject. But, you know, before we get to that point, you can call in on our two lines.
Correct.
416-263-8297.
416-263-8298.
I'll memorize numbers eventually.
Eventually, we'll be able to remember some numbers.
All I know is my home number and my mom's number. That's it. That's it. Yeah, so before we get to that, though, let's talk a little bit about the trade deadline. So that came and passed. Yeah, yesterday afternoon, the Raptors stood pat, along with the Boston Celtics and the Indiana Pacers and the Milwaukee Bucks.
Yep.
The two teams that did make moves in the Eastern Conference, Miami and Boston.
You're forgetting about Detroit.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Detroit having a fire sale was kind of amazing, to be honest.
Oh, I thought of a joke in my walk over here. What do Tristan Thompson, Robert Covington, and Bruce Springsteen all have in common?
What?
They're rocking New Jersey.
Jesus Christ. All right.
Come on, let's keep it moving.
All right. That's
so, yeah, let's talk about the moves. I personally really like what Miami did.
Legitimately so hot. I don't know how Serge Ibaka wore with that whole giant blanket on him.
Well, I mean, he probably wasn't wearing it until before he turned that corner.
Fair enough.
I really like what the Miami Heat did. I think they took their bottom of the rotation guys and upgraded every single one of them. Like, okay. Would you rather have James Johnson or Andre Iguodala?
Iguodala, yeah.
Would you rather have Solo or Deion Waiters?
That one's honestly debatable to me. I don't think either of them will play in a playoff rotation.
I think that Solo could defend some guards.
Yeah, but they'd have to take one of our better players out. I'm just saying, I'm not worried if they're playing Solomon Hill. DeMar DeRozan's not here anymore.
So. Yeah. Jesus. The point that I made to you...
That was a fact.
The point that I made to you earlier is the Raptors have struggled against Miami's bench. It's when in that first game, they got totally run off the court by them, and now their bench is better. So, take that for what it means. But I like those moves.
What about Philly getting a small dog?
Who what are those moves? Their team is clearly on fire. They need to fire their coach, and they just
they don't just need to fire their coach. First off, Brett Brown looks miserable.
He looks miserable.
He looks to be he looks like he hasn't slept in a long time.
No.
And. Yeah, they've had some bad losses.
Yeah, it's been
Milwaukee yesterday, Boston.
That Miami loss was crazy.
I was seeing Kelly Olynyk dunk all over these guys. I'm like, yo, this is too much, man. You can't be a real contender if Kelly Olynyk's dunking all over you. So
that's facts.
Yeah, I mean, we'll get to the lines and everything like that. But just before we do that, any of that stuff scare you at all?
No, I think Miami's I think Miami closed the gap with Toronto and Boston.
Okay.
I think that's where I'm at.
You know, oddly enough, I'm more afraid of the Celtics getting a Tristan Thompson.
Because then they're like a finals team.
Yes, I really do think so. I think their wing talent is very, very good.
Yep.
But they don't have an interior player.
Yep.
And, you know, but there'll be a lot of bidding for Tristan Thompson services, and we'll see how much he enjoys Beantown. But, in the meantime, let's take our first call.
Yeah, let's take the first call. We'll start with Avery from Calgary. Welcome to the show, Avery. How's it going?
Good, how are you guys?
We're doing all right.
That's good, I'm glad.
What's your question?
So today, I'm kind of being an anxious fan here, mm-hmm. and I have it put down to three pillars of winning for the Raptors. You have Nick Nurse, mm-hmm. Sai Ujiri, and Kyle Lowry.
Yep.
Those three guys are all up in the next 2 years, and I don't think I just can't see Fred stepping up that much. I just can't see Lowry being replaced like that. And I just kind of got used to this winning team, and how do we calm ourselves down and kind of see a brighter side of better side of things. I don't really know. I can't really.
I mean, I don't know. They've won 12 straight. Just enjoy every game.
Yeah, and there are two sides. You can think that all good things come to an end.
Mm-hmm.
Flames to dust, lovers to friend, et cetera.
Yeah.
Or you can hope that the organization now has established a culture of winning, in that Nick Nurse, I don't think there's really a chance that he's not going to be retained by the team, will be able to coach the next guy up to compete. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. Doucet looks like he could be like a real NBA starting backcourt player for years and years to come. Like,
yeah,
he looks really good. And yeah, if we have the Kyle Lowry succession plan at the combination of Terrence Davis and Fred VanVleet, I don't think we have much to worry about.
Yeah, look, Fred VanVleet's 25, Kyle Lowry at 25. I would say Fred VanVleet's already at that level, if not better, than Kyle was at 25. Now, Kyle has taken significant leaps in his career to first become an all-star and then to get to an all-NBA level and then to get to a championship level, and now to the point where his extended longevity has been so impressive that he might even challenge for a Hall of Fame level. So, you know, we need to see Fred take more jumps. But having said that, just at the same age, Fred is a lot ahead of Kyle. And you can even ask Kyle that himself, and he'll tell you.
Yeah. Yeah. No, he's...
So just, I don't know, man. I mean, worrying about you're not winning anymore is a lot better of a problem about not winning right now.
That's facts killing me.
Yeah. Things are good, man. Just kick back and enjoy, you know. Whatever happens in the future will happen, but, you know, the future is never promised to anybody.
All right, Avery, have a great weekend. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, no problem. And you guys should talk about the Giannis. When he mentioned Kyle Lowry's locker presence, and now he's on the team with Lowry and Siakam.
We will. Don't worry.
We'll definitely talk about it, man. Definitely talk about it.
Be good.
Good.
All right.
Peace. Thank you. Yeah. All things good to come to an end. Like, it's Kyle Lowry is an icon because he's an iconic, and it sucks when we have to replace him.
Mm-hmm.
Anywho, we're gonna welcome a favorite of many of our listeners, Vitaly from Moscow. Welcome back to the show.
Listen, man, you guys, let me set the record straight.
Yeah.
I put you on scarves. What about scarves?
What about scarves?
Well, bro, you're in Moscow.
You're in Moscow.
You'd definitely be wearing a scarf, man.
You know what? Yeah, I wear scarves in March. I wear scarves in July. Okay? Don't tell me who put you on scarves. I put Serge and OG on scarves.
That's fine.
One time.
Oh, wow.
Listen, I have a special segment for you guys.
Oh, perfect. Go ahead.
It's called Vitaly's Big Fraud of the Week.
Oh, perfect.
I love it.
Yeah.
There we go.
I'll send you a check in the mail right now. All right.
My Big Fraud of the Week, it's not just one player, one coach. It is the entire Detroit Pistons organization.
That's facts. You're right. That's facts.
No, let me give you some real facts.
All right.
The last time Detroit Pistons won one playoff game was May 26, 2008.
Ooh.
Almost 12 years ago.
Mm.
Now, let me tell you. The last time the Pistons won a playoff game.
Yep.
Some facts.
Yep.
Bush was president.
Yes, the second one, yeah.
Michael Jackson was still alive for, it was more than a year before he passed away.
Right.
Yeah.
That year's All-NBA team included Yao Ming and Tracy McGrady.
Yes. Rockets for life.
Today's Pistons rookie, Deku Sumbaya, he was 7 years old at the time.
Okay.
And this last one, I want you guys to guess it.
Can you
guess what at that time was the number one song on the chart?
Oh.
2008?
Was it Knock You Down by Carrie Hilson featuring Kanye West?
Was it Sexy Back?
No, but that's a banger. That's a banger.
Do you want to take another guess?
That Kanye featured Slab.
It's a good song. what was it?
What was the song, man?
I will give you a hint.
Okay.
Shorty bought a thug.
What?
What?
Bottles in the club.
Oh, buy you a drink, right? No, yeah.
No, I said Shorty bought a thug.
Bottles in the club. I like that. What's the name of the song?
No. It is Lollipop.
Lil Wayne. Lollipop. That's the name of the song.
Oh, wow.
I'm going to be killed when I get home. Ah, yikes.
Wow.
That really takes me back. So,
yes.
So that just, it puts perspective.
Yeah.
How sad this organization, man. And you know, Dwayne Casey, he said some great things. He said, it's not like Toronto, Detroit. They've experienced three championships.
Oh, man.
History. It's a beautiful organization. Well, Dwayne Casey, what do I have to say for yourself now? Now, just to give you a little bit more big fraud points.
Yeah.
I want to tell you, you want to know some of the incredible picks since they last won a playoff game. Their draft picks. Jonas Jurepko.
Yeah.
Austin Day. Raptors legend, Greg Monroe.
Yep.
Yep.
Chris Middleton, who they gave up on.
Yep. For...
Andre Drummond.
Yep.
Who they gave up on.
For a bag of chips.
Spencer Dinwiddie, who they gave up on.
Yep.
Oh, my God.
Oh, Raptors legend Stanley Johnson.
Yep.
First-round lottery pick.
Yep.
And Henry Ellenson, another first-round pick who they gave up on.
Yep.
Some Yikes. Notable free agent contracts they gave. Reggie Jackson, $80 million.
Oh, my God.
Josh Smith,
$60
million. One
of the worst. That was crazy.
They waived him the next year. You want to know the funniest part? He is still on their books for this year. Josh Smith, they're still paying him this year.
Atlanta Hawks legend.
And then the Raptors legend, Charlie V, $40 million.
Oh, my God. No, you forgot Ben Gordon, man. That was the big summer they had. Ben Gordon and Charlie V.
Ben Gordon's my guy. I don't want to.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
I want to know who Vitaly carries water for. Ben Gordon.
Ben Gordon.
You know, that's my guy. He had some good Bulls years with Derek Rogers.
It's
so funny, man, because Detroit, they leaked reports. They're like, you know what? For Drummond, we want a lottery pick and a good young player. then they're like, okay, you know what? Just a regular rotation, late first round pick, no problem. And then they get their guy, Brandon Knight, back.
John Henson.
And the most disrespectful part, they get the worst of two second-round teams.
The worst of two. Yeah, they were begging on the phone, too. Yeah. They're like, please, please, anything else.
Yeah, this was enjoyable for me. Did you guys talk about Pistons?
Oh, listen, there's one. I thought you were going to bring this up. The Pistons have lost 16 straight playoff games. Think about that. That's crazy.
That's four sweeps.
Yeah, just four sweeps.
They make the playoffs just to get swept.
Bro, look at last year.
And not just that.
They got murdered.
They forced Blake Griffin with a busted open knee to like a carcass out on the court. Like
there's no one who's been more disrespected than Blake Griffin. Like, he's like, you know, it's you, Gandhi, Mandela, and now you're traded.
Yeah.
And then he gets to, then Dwayne Casey asks him to pound the rock. Tell, you know, Blake Griffin, I hope the stand-up career works out for you because...
No, he's going
to
need it, man.
So I want to ask you guys to do something for me.
Yeah.
Very important. Maybe you already talked about this. Again, I missed it.
Yeah.
The vodka is strong today.
Oh, okay.
It's Friday night, man. It's Friday night.
Yeah. Listen, enjoy your life.
Just put it to bed for me one time.
Yeah.
The New York Knicks. Will they ever... Will Dwayne Casey... Excuse me. Will Masai Ujiri ever be in their front office?
I don't think it's in New York. I don't think it's in New York. If Masai ever leaves, it doesn't make sense.
Somehow,
got a very powerful executive. They're not going to let him go in like 2 years. But who knows? They hired Phil Jackson to let him go. So
I don't see it happening right this minute. But
not New York. Not New York. Maybe somewhere else.
I think
New York.
Some people forget MLSE. They have deep pockets, man.
Yeah, they do.
People think, oh, it's Toronto, man, they have money. They will match equity, whatever, man.
Yeah.
This guy, what he did for this city, they will pay him.
Yep.
I hope so, man. MLSC, baby.
Going to be paying $300 a month for my cell phone?
I'll do it.
Will you?
I got a company comp phone, so I'll definitely do it.
Yeah, actually, I still have my Toronto number.
Oh, my goodness. Rates are going up, my friend.
Yeah, but you know what? I do a little import-export in Canada. They take care of me. Bell. I know George Cope. You know George Cope?
You know George Cope. Holy crap.
Listen, I don't want to tell you guys too much. But,
okay.
If I'm in Toronto, I take good care of you guys. Okay?
All right. Yeah. So listen, hey, when you come to Toronto, we'll definitely... Well, we got to take care of you.
Yeah,
honest,
for sure.
Man.
Yeah, I will be there maybe this summer.
All right. So, okay. Yeah, hit us up.
We'll see you.
I will bring you guys some vodka from the motherland.
I appreciate it.
All right, be good, Vitaly. So
you guys have a great weekend. Joshua, you always be good, my man.
All right.
Always.
All right. Peace. Salut.
Bye.
Bye.
A legend call.
Man. Yeah. He's really, really very good. Sarah Jenkins in the chat asks, what comes first, Leafs Cup or another Raptors championship?
Yeah.
All right, on line one, we have Paul from Oakville. Paul, how's it going?
Hey, what do you do, baby?
Yo, what's good, man? Everyone's got a lot of energy. Yeah,
everyone's in good mood.
I love it. What's up, man?
Oh, man. First, I just want to say something. It's more of a statement.
Yep.
I just want to say to the whole Raptor fans, to all the haters, McCaw haters, McCaw will be a core piece for the Raptors.
In a trade package for who?
McCaw will be a core piece. He may be struggling right now, but he will be a core piece.
All right.
Okay.
I like the confidence.
I like the confidence, man. Look, he's never been not part of a championship team. That's a fact.
That's fact.
He's never not been a part of a championship team.
Did he win at college? And
forget that. Don't worry. We're talking NBA, man. We're not talking about college.
We're talking about the big league.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
So my question is, what do you all think about the whole New York hiring Leon Rose? Is this should we calm down for now, or is this should we still have our guard up?
You know, I think we should still have our guard up a little bit until, you know, so the Knicks seems like they made their move. That's cool. What I'm interested to see is the Raptors make their move and lock in Masai long term. Yeah. Masai, Bobby, the whole front office, everybody.
Yeah.
Right? Because that's something that's still on the table. It's not just like the Knicks or the Raptors or nothing. You know what I mean? Like, he still needs to agree to that extension with the Raptors. And I think right now we're finally getting some reporting that may lend some insight into why this is taking so long. Dave Feschuk of the Toronto Star wrote a really nice piece yesterday where he sort of got into this idea of why Masai hasn't signed the extension and sort of how MLSC is lacking a Tim Mulawicki kind of figure to sort of like just quash all this. Because really, it shouldn't be this much noise. This should just be someone should come out and say, yo, Masai's staying, period. Here's a new contract. You know, move on.
It's done, yeah.
Right? The Knicks moved on. But, you know, this situation is still open. And if you read the piece that Dave Feschuk wrote, there are some details in there that would lend some insight in terms of just, is there stability in MLSC that Masai wants to lock himself into? Because it seems like the Board of Governors, with some executives at Bell potentially departing the Board of Directors, there might be some change-ups there, and ownership might be a question mark. I think, you know, that's something that they got to figure out. Masai's got to feel assurance from that.
Yep.
And then they can make a move.
Yeah, it'd be like if your manager asked you to sign a lifetime contract, and then you asked, what about my direct supervisors? And they're like, who knows?
Yeah.
And Masai's right to say, you got to figure all this stuff out. I know that I'm a big piece of that, but I'm not making moves.
That's it. I'm not saying he's gone or not going or whatever. I'm just saying, like,
it's on MLSC.
MLSC
right
has to figure their shit out, and they got to come correct with whatever Masai wants.
Because Masai,
he's too important, man. Yeah. And you know what the thing is? With MLSC, in the last couple of years, have not really been in the news. But if you follow Toronto sports long enough, there hasn't been that much trust in this organization, let's be real.
Yeah, and Masai, every year when there's an executive opening, Masai's going to be pursued because he is...
Bro, the Lakers checked in with them, the Knicks checked in with them. Those are the two biggest basketball franchises on earth, all right?
Yeah.
So Toronto, you know, in order to compete with that, you better have everything together. That's all I'm saying. You gotta have everything together.
Yeah.
And right now, I don't know if they have everything together. That's all.
Very, very true.
All right. Thank you so much. I appreciate your time, man.
All right.
Thanks for calling.
Keep up the great content. I always follow your post-game, William Liu.
All right. Thank you. Thank you.
All right, man. Appreciate it.
Enjoy the weekend.
All right, man. See you.
That guy has a cool voice.
Yeah, I was going to say. And this is, look, this. I'm just going to read you a passage from that Festruck article that I was mentioning, right? Yeah. I don't want the whole podcast to be focused on this. Although, whatever. You guys want to talk about whatever. But this is just a quote, all right? George Cope, the former BCE CEO and member of the MLSC board, is respected by Ujiri, but he retired last month. And as for Laiwiki's successor, CEO Michael Frisdale, he of the Apartheid Travel Council, let's just say he and Ujiri have some South Africa in common. In the 1980s, Frisdale, a former tour operator, infamously saw the widespread boycott of South Africa's racist regime as a business opportunity and sent paying customers there. Ujiri's hero is the anti-apartheid leader Nelson Mandela, who spent 27 years in prison there. Exactly why MLSC hired Frisdale to lead a company whose highest profile employees are black men has still never been fully explained. That's pretty freaking important. All right? Yeah. I'm not saying that's the only issue. I'm not sure. I don't think he just popped out of the blue.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, MLSC's got to figure their shit out.
Yeah.
That's it.
No, yeah. Also,
why is he even on the board in the first place? Messiah or no Messiah, what the hell is this guy doing on the board? That's disgusting. That's actually disgusting. Revealing, that's how he made his money.
Yeah, it's a very revealing article.
Yeah. So we can take more calls. But before we do that, actually, we have some KFC hotline pieces to get to.
All right. Well, first we'll take from Hugo. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Will. So I was wondering, if the Nets don't do anything with KD and Kyrie, would they be the worst organization in the history of NBA? Like, two superstars go to a team and don't win a chip. That would kind of be the most underwhelming thing ever.
That's a good call, because if you look at the recent big, you know, free agent moves, we're talking about KD to Golden State, they won. We're talking about LeBron to Cleveland, they won. We're talking about LeBron to Miami, they won. We're talking about Boston with Ray Allen deciding to go there, and also KG getting moved there, they won.
Yep.
I mean,
if you add the KD, Kyrie to Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett and Joe Johnson coming to Brooklyn during the Prokhorov years, yeah, it's kind of like...
And that was obviously, was obviously different, but still.
They've had so many swings.
Yeah, they have.
Jason Kidd and Vince Carter.
Sure.
Those were good teams.
Yeah.
I mean, they ran into like a buzzsaw, but those were good teams.
Sure, yeah. Shout out Kenyon Martin.
Shout out Kenyon Martin.
Yeah, I mean, it would be pretty bad. I don't know where it would rank all time.
It'd be like them and Phoenix Suns.
Like, we're talking maybe
and
like...
Timberwolves.
When Charles Barkley went to the Houston Rockets to form the Big Three and they didn't win there. I don't know, man.
Yeah.
That might have happened before I was born. Before both of us were born.
No.
What was that?
It was before we were born.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
We can't even be real NBA analysts unless you were born before 1980.
Yeah, I mean, but you know what, though? KD has to come back fully healthy from the injury, which is tough.
Yeah.
We saw post-Achilles, Kobe was different.
Yeah.
It was just really different. Like, he was at the... Even then, in his late peak, he was still a peak player. And then when he came back, he just wasn't the same.
Well, Kevin Durant could be...
And, you know, he was going to Germany for the top stuff, too.
Yeah, the real stuff. Spinning your blood stuff.
Well, you know.
KD's a great shooter. He'll continue to be.
Sure.
His defense improved. He's he's better at interior post defense, and that might stay. I don't know if he's going to be taking people off the dribble the way he used to, but who knows?
Yeah, there you go.
You can't ever know. Well, we'll go back to the calls. We have Elham in Ottawa. Welcome to the show, Elham.
Oh, hi.
Hello, how's it going?
I'm doing good. The snow is actually coming down, like, a lot over here. It's crazy. But my question, so I actually have two questions. One's a little dumb, but the other one's just related to OG and his playing.
Mm-hmm.
So has Nick Nurse said anything about how OG is playing of late? Because I'm too lazy just to look through everything. Like,
no,
is there any reason towards this, like, scoreless games and being invisible on offense and stuff like that?
He spoke to it a little bit after the game against the Pacers. And, you know, I think he was asked about why OG didn't close the game. And his thing was like, you know, I thought about it strongly. You know, OG's defense was really strong, but, you know, Terrence was hot, and he kind of went with that angle. I mean, I think part of it is the extended absence of Marc Gasol. I think Mark really does help free up a lot of things for OG. Let's be real, OG's the fifth option. He's not creating much of his own offense.
That's true. That's
he really shouldn't be as well.
No, yeah, he cannot.
Right? Like
he,
we,
he kind of has no handle.
He really doesn't. Yeah.
Does not have.
No, it, yeah, it looks like the ball's dribbling him. but, you know, it's just, without Mark to sort of help him with that cut and everything like that, it's just, there's not as much offense being created for him. And, you know, that's tough. I mean, he can also create more offense. You know, a lot of the early season OG that really got people excited was him stripping the ball from people and then taking it in for a dunk.
But that's everyone making, like, unnecessary like comparisons, because everyone calls him like baby Kawhi for no reason.
Yeah, that's why we shouldn't have done that. I mean, like,
everyone hypes him up too much.
He's a big wing who doesn't talk to anybody. There's the comparison is everywhere but on the court.
But he talks about scars.
He does talk about scars.
He talks shit to.
He does talk about scars.
That's true.
That's my main thing.
Yeah, the expectation, but I don't know. There's something weird about this OG thing.
There's something odd.
Yeah. No, I wish we had had answers.
Also, question number two: Do you find that Patrick McCaw plays better when he has his mask on?
Yes.
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 So he should just wear it the whole season.
Yes. What do you think, Josh?
I just think he's getting more playing time and finding his rhythm, but it's the mask. It's totally the mask.
No, it's the mask.
It's the mask. Guys.
All right. Have you watched The Mask?
That's not a good movie. Okay. That movie is aged like milk.
All right.
I feel like I haven't watched that movie. I feel like I'm too young for that.
You will not be edified by that movie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, like, you could just, like, force Patrick McCaw to wear the mask, and then, like, everything about him and Nick Nurse is fine now.
Him
playing as much, no one cares. Patrick McCaw's great.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I don't think anyone's really complained about Pat McCaw in the last couple of days. Since he's come back, he's been a little bit better in terms of his aggression.
I just find everyone a little bit too mean on him.
But they're also kind of treating him like Stanley Johnson. Like, he doesn't handle the ball anymore, which is, like, good.
I don't get why we sign Stanley Johnson, but he might have flashes.
Stanley Johnson could actually be fine. We just don't need him. Like, he's not as good as, like, he's just not good enough to break the rotation. Also, this segment that, you know, we get to do every week would be nothing without Stanley Johnson.
Yeah.
So. We'd have
Stanley's suggestions is going to be gone.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, we have Dewan's destinations and Rondé recommendations. So the first name of the segment was Rondé's recommendations, but then he cracked the rotation.
Yeah. We do have more options there. Yeah. There'll be more people.
Gasol's gastronomy is.
Yeah, Boucher's boutiques.
A few more options.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Appreciate it, guys.
Yeah.
First time caller. I've been listening for like since the beginning of the season. I really appreciate this podcast because it's just something to listen to while I do my homework.
Oh, perfect.
Well, do your homework, you know.
Well, I don't want to, but I'm just going to go eat. But thanks for having my question. I might call again sooner or later.
Take care.
Right, bye now.
Peace.
Surprised you didn't throw in some Ottawa banter.
I thought about it. But
you know, you've been in the, what is the area code?
613.
Yeah, you've been in the 613.
Yeah, shout out to Carlton.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. They sounded like they were young. I'm like, I only really remember bars and...
Fair enough, yeah. What about, what was the place you sent me to? The Squirrel?
The Black Squirrel Books.
Black Squirrel Books. Shout that place out. Is cool. I like it's that great. Place. Yeah. You get your book from, like, the back, and then you sit there and you read. And
yeah. Coffee?
Spend, like, 3 hours there.
It's good.
Yeah.
We have Bill from Boston to talk about Pascal. Do you think this is a troll call or a guy named Bill?
Oh, it's Bill Simmons from Boston.
All right. Bill, welcome to the show. Bill, how's it going?
Hey guys, big fan of the pod.
Oh, thank you.
Wow.
I wanted to ask you guys about Ibaka.
Okay.
Here's the guy. He just, I think he's having a moment right now. You know,
definitely.
Yeah, he's
bad shot against Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's one of the all-time game winners. I think just with the Ibaka thing, I think he's at his apex mountain right now. You know what I mean?
Oh wow! This is Bill Simmons from Boston with a slight Vitaly from Moscow accent.
He's been unbelievable.
Yeah.
Pascal went from being like a no yes guy on this team to actually being like a 3-point shooter on the wing.
Serge?
Yeah, Serge. Yeah, sorry, Serge. Not Pascal.
When you compare like the early PJ Tucker series.
Oh my God!
I mean. They were recently talking about this on The Ringer, but first, our friend from Pearl Jam.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. The show's so weird.
This is so meta. Oh, it's so loud.
All right. That's the other one.
All right, we'll give that a second. Still going.
All right.
Take care, Bill. Have a cool one. That was a pretty funny joke. I don't think he wanted to really talk to us about the rest of the bit.
Sarge is having a moment, though.
It's been amazing to watch because at the beginning of the season, people were like, Sarge, maybe he's got to go. And he's so good. He's like
any veteran, he can choose to turn it on. But we know Sarge has another level to get to. We saw he was fantastic throughout last year's playoffs.
Yeah.
Like, was it consistent every single game? No, but as a bench guy, amazing.
Amazing to have a guy like that coming off your bench in the playoffs.
And then the point about the three-point shooting. So Sarge is shooting 39% from three this year. It's a big jump from last year when he was shooting 29% from three. Yeah. I felt like last year he really focused, all right, I'm going to play center.
Yeah.
I'm going to focus on finishing everything around the basket. He's been a very good finisher throughout his career, but there are opportunities where he drops the ball and stuff like that, and people get frustrated.
Yep.
Last year, I thought he made himself into a very, very reliable low post finisher. He's not going to do post moves and score
a great pick and roll finisher.
But just if he catches the ball, he puts a shot up. That shot is going in.
Yep.
Like, he is a very reliable finisher. And so I thought he focused on that last year. And then this year, he's taken that part. He's preserved it, but he's also extended his range back to the three-point line. I mean, we saw the shot against Ben Simmons. And the thing is, he had a game-winner three last year, too, against Washington on the road in overtime.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, whatever. The Raptors have to hit a game-winner against Washington every single year. It's
true.
Part of the CBA rules. Shout out Anthony Parker and shout out Mo Pete and all the other guys.
Yeah.
Shout out Corey Joseph.
And shout out Serge Ibaka.
Shout out Serge Ibaka.
Shout out to Jordy. Jordy. Shout out to Jordy.
Getting a free shout out here? Okay.
Yeah, you know.
We better be getting a Nobis code or something.
A Nobis code.
All right. Let's take another call.
We have Herbert from Scarborough. Herbert, welcome to the show.
Hi. Hi, guys. How are you doing?
How are you doing,
man? Well.
Okay. So I don't actually have a question so much as a rant.
Okay. That's good, too.
Well, it's really just my perspective, and you guys have definitely been watching a lot more basketball than I have, so I want your take on it. So I wanted to talk about how great Nick Nurse is and how underappreciated he and the rest of the coaching staff are, even among Raptor fans.
Okay.
So everyone knows that we lost Danny and Kawhi, and everyone knows that the Raptors have been plagued with injuries, and we still have a record that's third in the league. And I think that alone is probably already enough for Coach of the Year contention.
Yeah, and he's there.
He's definitely there, but I think that it's almost a lock. But the thing is that they're even better than people realize. So sometimes I follow like a live Twitter feed during a game, or I read online comments, and that's probably a mistake, but nobody seems to understand why Nick Nurse runs some of the plays that he does. And I think that the rationale is actually pretty simple. I'm going to give you some examples.
Okay.
And they're going to sound pretty confusing on the surface. So, like in the Indiana game, whenever the last that was, Rondé trying to post up.
Yep.
Or Marc Gasol and his hook shot and his fadeaway in the post. This was back before he came back from injury. And people were just saying, why didn't he just take threes instead? Or pretty much all of Patrick McCaw's minutes and why Terrence Davis doesn't play more or why OG attacks the rim. I think there's like a very simple explanation. Because these are pretty inefficient plays, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the reason to me is just that he wants Nick Nurse and the coaching staff want to develop the most tools possible, the most optionality, and it's all just development.
Mm-hmm.
So like, why is McCaw getting more minutes than Terrence Davis? Because ultimately, you need production on the bench, right? You got Norm and Serge coming off the bench. And they're great finishers, but they don't produce on their own, so they need a point guard.
Yeah.
And you know Nick Nurse loves the dual Freddie Kyle lineup.
Yeah.
And if you don't want to ultimately run them into the ground, then you need McCaw as a point guard. It's really simple.
Yeah.
And I love Terrence Davis as much as everyone else, but he's a rookie, and he hasn't progressed along the proverbial point guard track at all. He's a shooting guard, and he never runs the offense, even when it's just the bench lineup.
That's fair.
Does Pat McCaw do that much? Like,
no, but Pac McCaw, at least functionally,
knows
is setting
playbook.
Up the offense.
Yeah.
It's sort of an old school kind of point guard.
Yeah.
Not like the modern point guard that creates. I hear what it's saying.
Can Davis get there? Like,
he can. I just, is it getting there this year?
Yeah.
You never know. I don't know.
But, okay.
Yeah.
But he can get there, but this year, this season so far, he's just a shooting guard because that's what we need right now.
No, I get it.
And that's true.
In the future, maybe. And that's the same explanation for all of it. Like, why OG is attacking the rim? We're getting practices. So the reason I think that like fans don't really see this is because we're winning.
Yeah.
And the thing is, that's not so normal. Normally, when you have a development year or a development team, they're trash, mm-hmm. right? They're rebuilding. Yeah. And it's like you have, like, Colin Sexton, you know, dribbling the ball out, and, like, he gets a ton of minutes, but they're just losing. And to me, it's just literally all development.
Yeah.
So the crazy thing is Nick Nurse is developing this team, and it's still winning.
Yeah.
We're developing pieces, and it doesn't cost us games. It's costing us possession, but it's not costing us games. And that's crazy to me. Like, that's incredible.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, that's my take on it. I don't know if that sounds or if that rings true to you guys.
Look, I'm not saying that every single possession is as thought out as that, but I do generally agree with the theme that he is trying to develop some of the guys. Like, the Pat McCobb point is, I think, pretty astute in the sense that I think functionally you want that kind of player to be there for them. You know, the rest of it, I mean, you could make an argument that, like, yes, I think the Raptors may want to care about seeding and be the, mm-hmm. you know, two seed and things like that. But to his point, like, they're the two seed right now, yeah. and they have a game and a half up on their closest competitor. It seems to be the best of both worlds right now.
Yeah.
And I think, honestly, Nick was doing this a little bit last year, too. Like, if you look at some of the stuff, like, right now OG's not scoring as much, but, you know, early in the year, they were doing that cut on the wing where Pascal and OG would cut off each other. They would split. Pascal would come to the top. OG would go to the rim. And you know, Mark would feed them that pass. They haven't ran that play. Even when Mark has been healthy, they haven't run that play very much. And I think, you know, to his point, I'm sure the coaching staff sees, like, this is one way we can get OG shots.
Mm-hmm.
We have this in the bag. What else can we do with this piece?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so I think it's a good point.
No, it's a good point. It's a great point. Herbert,
do you know what? One quick last thing, yeah. because I'm apparently now on the cost fan for life. But so you know what Nicole, to me, what he looks like when he's playing with a bench? He's what? Looking like Marc Gasol, but shorter. So you know when you have this pass-first guy?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we know he can take threes. We know he can even attack the rim, and he's relatively
can shoot
fast.
Threes. He really can shoot threes. When you watch him warm up and stuff, he's not any worse than Pascal or OG or any of these guys. He just doesn't shoot them. That's different, but whatever.
So if we know that he's possible, or it's possible. So his repertoire to be this aggressive. So why doesn't he do it? And to me, it's very much because he's like thinking like Marc Gasol. Like, he's trying to get other guys into this play. He wants to, you know, like, Rondé's not going to create on his own.
Yeah.
At least currently, right? So he's trying to do that. And to me, that makes so much sense.
Sure.
Anyways, the cost of life.
Okay, apparently, yeah.
All right.
I wouldn't go that far. But no, I mean, it's. Look, I'm sure they have a plan for everything. And they're not blind. The coaching staff is not dumb.
All right.
Thanks for the call.
Take care. Peace.
All right, take care.
That's interesting.
We got him a Costa.
Yeah, he's shooting 36% on two attempts per game. I wonder what that looks like with actual volume.
I'm telling you, like, he's not that bad of a shooter. He just doesn't shoot, and that maybe is frustrating. So the thing is, look, I hear the point about him sort of playing that playmaker role, sort of setting the table for everybody. I get that. But it's not as easy to do that from the point guard position as from the center position,
mm-hmm.
realistically, right? The center in the modern NBA is just not directing traffic the way, and that's why it makes Marc Gasol so rare and so unique in what he does. But it's also a lot easier because, you know, A, if you're putting your center on the floor, on the top of the floor, and he's distributing,
yeah,
that's also creating for everyone else because the floor is spaced and everything like that, especially when you got a guy like Mark who can pull, right? And, you know, you're opening the floor up that way. You can also set a lot more effective screens if you're going to direct traffic that way. You could do triple handoffs and stuff like that. It's a little bit harder when you're doing it with McCaw because he's smaller. It's not exactly the same role, but I see the point. Like, yes, the bench unit does not have as many facilitators and creators, and there might be a need to try to develop one. And if that's what they're trying to do with McCaw,
then it makes sense.
Process-wise. Results-wise so far, I don't know, it's hit and miss. But, you know, I we have seen some good moments from McCaw this year. We can admit that at least,
right? We've seen moments where he's, like, clogged up the offense.
Yeah, definitely.
But I guess to Herbert's point is how free-flowing would that offense be without him?
Sure, I guess.
All right. Let's take Eric from Toronto's call. Eric, welcome to the show.
Hey, Josh and Will. Huge fan of the podcast. Shout out to Run It Back.
Hey, shout out.
So the question I have is in terms of – so free agency is now – or the trade deadline is now over. In
is
terms
it?
Of the buyout market, mm-hmm. Do you guys think there's anyone the Raptors can look at or maybe push them over the top for the playoff run?
You know, I did a pod with this Big V about this yesterday after the deadline. And, you know, we kind of went through the names of some of the teams and, like, kind of anticipated some guys – The list I came up with in terms of potential targets, we're talking about Bismack Biyombo, Marvin Williams, Evan Turner, Vince Carter, Nene, Jamal Crawford. Do any of those guys really stand out to you? I mean, I don't think we'll be in contention for Tristan. I just don't think we have minutes for him. Courtney Lee with Dallas, that's another one I'm seeing Josh look at right now.
Yeah, I would like Courtney Lee.
But what's he going to do?
Is
he going to be Jody Meeks for us?
Be another wing.
I guess.
Yeah, I don't think any of them bring us over the top, but the Vince Carter thing would be cool just as a fan, but yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's just not that sexy.
Would no,
I'm hard pass on Matthew Dellavedova, man.
All right, thanks, guys. Yeah.
All right, peace. Yeah. Be good.
Do I want non-Asian Jeremy Lin? Hell no.
Yogi Ferrell?
He played with OG, I'm pretty sure, at Indiana.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know, maybe. I wouldn't mind another point guard. I mean, if the McCaw thing really, really just is not working at some point,
yeah.
I wouldn't mind a third playmaker.
He's only 6 feet. He's short, eh?
He's very short, yeah. I think he might be sub 6 feet.
Oh, we don't need it. We don't need that. I mean,
we already have some short kings.
Shout out to our short kings.
Yeah. Before we take another call, let's take another KFC hotline. So this one
is from Maxwell. Maxwell.
Hey, Lou, in the past post-game wrap-ups, you talked about the Raptors' intensity and unrelenting determination. Do you think these characteristics come at a cost, which would be the series of injuries this team has had to deal with this year? I look forward to your thoughts on this. Take it easy.
Yeah, I think it might have some correlation. You know, if you look, for example, I always point to this example. Andrew Wiggins has been one of the healthiest players in the NBA, period. He never misses games. At one point, he played like three seasons straight. You know, it's even from a rookie. Part of the reason he's been able to do that, because he hasn't played defense for 3 seasons straight. So if you let people blow by you, you're probably not going to get hurt. But if you stand in for a charge, if you try to swipe for the ball, if you're trying to rebound, if you're trying to like actually play defense, you're probably not taking as much contact. So I think it is part in due to that. I also think it's just it's a little fluky right now.
Some of these have been like weird.
Yeah, like Norm, like going around the screen getting hurt. Yeah. Norm swiping for a ball getting hurt. Kyle breaking a finger on doing that. It's like Pat, like what's his name? Matt Thomas. I don't even know how he got hurt.
Marcus pulled his hamstring just running up a court.
Straight up, not even running, like a brisk power walk.
Yeah, just trying to run back.
Eddie's.
Yeah, so. I don't know. I want this team to play hard.
Yeah, me too.
I hope it doesn't lead to everybody ending up in the infirmary, but. Mm-hmm. It's the right thing to do.
Also, you know, when you have a couple of injuries, that really puts a burden on some of the other guys to play extended minutes, and that also hurts a little bit. But I think the franchise has the right idea in mind. Again, they're not dumb. If we know that you should play them less minutes to manage their energy and everything like that, they definitely know. And we've seen it with everyone else healthy now. Kyle's not playing 40 minutes.
No, it's been so good.
Fred's not playing 40 minutes. Pascal's not playing 40 minutes. Yeah. Occasionally, if they need to, like in that game against the Pacers, you got a situation where you're in tough, go for it. Compete for that game. If you need to play a lot, whatever. But otherwise, they're generally not doing it.
They're taking it easy.
Yeah.
All right, we have the commuter himself. He's here from Hamilton. Welcome back to the show. How's it going?
Hey, man. I'm doing all right. How are you guys?
I'm doing all right. How's the commute today?
I'm on the 403 right now, so it's kind of slow.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Oh, that's too bad.
You know, it's the usual.
Yeah. Who's our traffic correspondent? You want to talk about Kyle?
Yeah, I was going to ask, do you guys think, as of like right now, let's say Kyle retired like at the end of this year, do you think that as of right now, Kyle Lowry is guaranteed a Hall of Fame spot?
Guaranteed?
Guaranteed.
I'd say 50-50.
Like, do you think, like what's the percentage on Kyle getting a Hall of Fame spot?
50% so far. If he does this another year, I think it increases to, like, 65.
I kind of think that... I don't know. Nah, I don't know. I have no idea.
I was generally thinking about it. I was saying that if he wins another ring... Because I'm comparing him to Chauncey Billups.
Same thing, Chauncey Billups.
This year, he didn't get Hall of Fame the vote, right?
Yeah.
But he's a nominee. He's nominated.
Yeah. Kyle Lowry will get nominated.
Yeah, I think so.
He'll make a couple ballots. It depends on when he retires. It depends on what the next 3-4 years of his career look like.
Yeah. If he wins another ring, for sure.
Yeah, 100%.
If he wins two rings,
Yeah, two rings.
I mean, that's really impressive. All-stars. How many point guards have won two rings as one of the lead players? Yeah. It's Isaiah. It's like all the Celtics players from like the 50s when Derek they were Fisher. All like working part-time jobs as firemen. And then, and then Steph.
Yeah.
And Magic. Yeah. Magic's not even really
a point guard.
He's a point guard.
In that same way.
He's like 6'9". It doesn't physically apply. Basketball Reference, by the way, for what it's worth, has Kyle Lowry at 86%.
That's
Hall of Fame probability.
That's higher than I'd think.
Yeah. As of right now.
Yeah.
He's actually, coincidentally, just marginally ahead of Chauncey Billups. So
that's pretty funny.
Like, what you have...
Tim Hardaway.
Tim Hardaway up here. Joe Dumars.
Dame Lillard.
Yeah.
That's crazy. All right.
I don't know, man.
Yeah, I don't know.
Fringe one right now for me. It's fringe. It's like 50-50. As a Raptor fan, definitely, I think so, because I see...
But I also think the, like, Raptor thing's going to be... it's going to hold him back, because right now, while he's out there playing, he's underrated because he's...
Bro, they had Derrick Rose and Andre Drummond.
Yeah.
Ahead of him.
Those guys are washed.
Come on, man.
And not people that I want to vote for.
One of those guys got traded for Trump before Henson, Knight, and a second-round pick.
Oh, yeah, God. Don't even get me... That was a bad, he went from a bad team to a worse team, but,
yeah.
With Lowry, I was going to say that the thing that's going to hold him back, I think, is his first 6 to 8 years.
Production, it hurts.
He was hurt, and then, he got traded a couple times, came off the bench.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's unfortunate,
His career is going to be based off the Raptors' career.
Yep.
But hopefully he gets the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. No, it's fun to talk about. Anywho, there. We're going to let you go. Yeah. Have a great weekend. Thanks
Drive
for
safe.
Calling. Drive safe.
Yeah, man.
Peace.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah. Always so worried about him.
Always. Yeah. I'm glad that people call him, but I never want anything bad to happen.
Yeah.
Let's pick up Archie from Scarborough. Archie, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. I compliment the Scarves, but I think OG would come after me.
Oh, wow. Wow.
I just wanted to ask you guys what you guys thought about the Andre Drummond trade. Like, come on. He's a two-time All-Star. Like, I know Will wasn't too much of a fan of bringing him to Toronto, but, he went for, John Henson, Brandon Knight, and a second-round pick?
The worst of two.
What, you wanted the Raptors to jump in on that price?
No. I think anything we could have given them was a lot better than what they got, but, I don't know why they would pull the trigger on that, because they didn't want to pay him in the summer.
They want to make sure that they have $35 million in available cap space to maybe chase a Fred VanVleet. I mean, no, who knows? They're linked to Fred, and Fred is a free agent.
Money is as good in Detroit as it is in anywhere else.
I don't know about that.
Okay. it's still money.
Fred VanVleet could buy the whole state of Michigan.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, who knows, man? I think they just wanted to make sure that that money was not, tied up for them.
Do you think he opts in Cleveland?
Because
that's like...
Kevin Love wants out of Cleveland, too, and then you bring another guy in.
Yeah?
Like, I doubt that's not going to get either one of them to stay.
No, it shouldn't. It should not.
I don't mind it for Cleveland only because they're just like, look, we're going to take a flyer on him. They probably had some interest in signing him.
Yeah,
they'll get to now basically preview what he looks like alongside their young point guards. And, if the gravity of Drummond rolling to the rim, while he doesn't roll that much, whatever.
Yeah.
The dribble handoffs that he can run.
Yeah.
If that affects sort of their – if it just fits. And if it fits well, then they maybe, talk to him about maybe not necessarily picking up the player option, but then getting an extension, all this stuff. There's flexibility in Cleveland's part. Mm-hmm. Also, it's flexibility in Cleveland's part because they gave up nothing.
Yeah.
It's Henson, Knight, and a future second-round pick, man. I mean, seriously.
But weren't they also, shopping – Tristan Thompson, and then ended up keeping him now? Aren't they, really messed up in terms of their rotation for center and power forward?
They are. And
they play three of them all together.
I could definitely see if Tristan Thompson wants to give up his bird rights, which is big, but if he wants to give up his bird rights and actually play for some minutes somewhere, because he's probably not going to get that many minutes now that the front court is Drummond and Love. At best, he's competing for backup minutes against, what's his name, Larry Nance, who's actually not bad. So, yeah, I don't know, man.
I know the D'Angelo Russell trade was probably the biggest one and the most influential, but I just literally saw this pop up and I was like, I can't believe that happened.
Yeah.
I feel bad for Pistons fans. I really do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, thanks guys. Have a great weekend.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
Peace.
Yeah, this is like almost not necessarily the same level because Vince Carter was way better than Andre Drummond. But yeah. Like getting Alonzo Mourning and a first round pick and Eric Williams and Alvin Williams, like this is or not even Alvin Williams. That would be great. Aaron Williams.
Yeah.
First of all, they had three Williams on the team.
Yeah.
20% of the roster was named Williams.
We have a great caller.
We do have a great caller. This is very exciting.
We have Brian from New York. Brian, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. I'm glad to call in.
Brian, how'd you hear about Raptors Over Everything Live?
Well, I heard about it because I know somebody that actually has a connection to the show.
Oh, you don't say.
There's somebody I think that deserves a huge raise, but I don't.
Yes.
But my daughter Ashley is one of the is the producer of the show.
Woo! Shout out Ashley.
She's very very good. We're looking at her right now.
Yeah.
Ashley's a little red in the face, but it's fun to talk to Dad. How's it going?
Hey Ashley, how you doing? As it happens, I mean, I love having Ashley involved with you guys, and it seems it's a very exciting position. I'm a Wichita State alum, so oh, wow. I'm also very interested in any event, especially follow Fred VanVleet very closely, and I love to see how he did last year, especially in the finals. It was unbelievable watching him perform.
No, he's awesome.
And so I guess aside from calling in because of my connection with my daughter, I was actually interested in hearing your view on Fred's been having a great season, mm-hmm. and I think his contract is coming up fairly soon. So I know he got a great contract for 2 years, but where you see things going with him, and do you think that the Raptors sort of view him in the long term of him being a long term piece of the puzzle for them?
Yeah, I think they definitely do. I think they obviously have to talk the numbers, and we've got to see what the market looks like. It looks like Detroit's open up a lot of money to potentially sign Fred, and
Orlando's
there, and there's some other franchises. But I think the Raptors know what they have in Fred. They know that he's a special guy. His personality fits perfectly in terms of the culture that they're trying to build in Toronto. He's a leader. He's been that from a young age, and even, he's still young. He's only like 25.
Yeah, no, it's.
And he's really proven himself this year in a starting role.
Yeah, no.
He's had big moments when he's run the team. When Kyle Lowry was hurt, he was very good during that stretch. And he's been very good alongside Kyle. He's a great shooter. You know, layups might be a little bit tough for him just because of his height. It's unfortunate, yep. But it is what it is.
And he has a green light to shoot through it, and he's struggling now, and he's mm-hmm. delivered in some of those instances.
And he has, you know, the biggest onions on the team, man. Yeah. Who do you want taking a big shot other than Fred VanVleet?
Nobody.
He is very, very money on those. So
except for Norm Powell, but.
Wow, well, yeah. But anyway, yeah, Fred VanVleet's been great. And I think, you know, the Raptors will probably look to re-sign him this summer.
Yeah, I think the Raptors are going to do everything they can to retain him without limiting their flexibility in 2021. But Fred should expect to be given a very competitive, if not sort of all-engrossing offer from the team.
Yeah, and we're seeing Fred this weekend. So if you have a question you want to ask Fred, please let us know.
Well, tell him go Shockers and hope he does well. I've been following a lot of the articles written about him over the past couple of years, and it sounds like he's developed a really nice relationship with the other players, including Lowry. It sounds like they have a really nice relationship. It sounds like Lowry's really sort of taken mm-hmm. him under his wing, and it's great to hear that.
Yeah, and he's passing it on now to Terrence. It's really nice to like have that growth in the organization. So,
yeah, how are the Shockers doing this year? I'm looking at the table. It seems like they're middle of the pack behind.
They were doing great for up to like 15 games. I think they were like 15-1, but then they lost like three of the last four or five games. So they've kind of hit a skid a little bit when they started playing Houston and Cincinnati, et cetera. Yeah. I'm hoping they'll bounce back. Good. But anyway, it's great. It's very exciting to see some Wichita State guys do well, and especially I loved watching Toronto this year because. I think no one, especially in the States, doesn't pay as much attention as they should.
Yeah.
But especially, you know, after the championship and losing the star, they thought it might not work. But Toronto's doing great this year, so it should be exciting in the playoffs.
Yeah, there you go.
All right.
All right. Well, thanks for calling.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks for calling.
Appreciate it.
Take care.
All right. Bye bye.
Bye bye. Well, so nice.
What an adorable moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ashley's really beaming ear to ear.
Yeah, she really is. Before we take our last call on line two, let's get to our last KFC hotline message. This one from Ali.
But one thing about this team, we don't give up.
That's f***ing all right. Yo, it's Ali calling from Ottawa. Just wanted to say, keep it short and sweet. Serge Ibaka is a bad man. Josh, Will, have a good show. You guys have been killing it. Enjoy the weekend. Peace.
Amazing. That was awesome. Yeah. Serge Ibaka is a bad man.
He came with his own production. You know?
Yeah, no, that was really high. The Bill Simmons guy, much worse. This guy, yeah. He had the audio. Sounded crisp.
Everything sounded great, yeah. Sounded great. It was mixed well, you know. That's the key to things. People don't mix podcasts well enough.
Is that the key?
I don't know.
All right. Our last caller, we have Ali from Calgary. Ali, welcome to the show.
Hey, what's up?
How you doing, man?
Gay.
Are you the same
ass? ALP, don't know.
Wow.
Yo, you already know what it is.
We got Chet Hanks on the line.
Chet Hanks on the line.
Oh my god.
I'm just fucking around. Yo, I love you guys. You guys do a good job.
Yeah, thank you. I love you too, man.
Thank you for listening.
Yo, thank you, man. I love you guys shouting out the Raptors. Finally, somebody's shouting out the Raptors, man.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, for sure, man. That's all I got. Yeah.
But I'm from the hood, man. I'm from the hood. Yo, how come they don't come to the hood, man?
Of Calgary? I mean...
No, I'm from Toronto, man.
I lied,
bro.
They have the court at Kipling and Dixon.
Yo, I'm from Toronto, man. ALB, man. Albion.
Oh, really?
All day.
Oh, wow.
What, like...
All day, man.
Like Stovetop?
West End?
Huh?
Where are you from? I'm from Rexdale.
I'm from Albion, man. Oh. Armel.
Oh my god. That's the building my parents lived in when they first got married. Anywho. You have a question about the Raptors?
Armel all day, man. Yo, shout out APOC. Shout out my
Alright. Thanks for calling in. Have a cool one.
No worries.
Alright, appreciate it, man.
Peace.
Alright, peace out, man.
That's Armel Court.
Yeah.
I do like that. He called it. I mean, I'm sorry that we're going to have to edit part of it out.
Well,
but
you know, it's fine.
Shout out. Okay, let's clear up the YouTube comments.
Let's get to the YouTube comments.
Oh,
man.
Wait, Stanley Suggestions. A segment like no other.
What? Oh, that's right. That's right. We have to do our signature segment.
I'll start. What are we doing? This week, I want to suggest that Stanley Johnson listen to Denzel Curry and Kenny Beats' latest mixtape. It's called Unlocked.
Mm-hmm.
And thinking of Denzel Curry got me thinking about my favorite Curry joint in the city. Drew Petit's in Rexdale at the corner of Woodbine Downs. There's two. There's 27 and Finch. On Woodbine Downs Boulevard. It's the best doubles and roti place in the city, in my opinion, and Stanley Johnson finds himself out by the airport. He should hit it up and get himself a boneless goat roti on Parata.
Are you talking about he should pick it up on his way to the 905?
Yeah, okay. I mean, on his way to Paramount Fine Foods Arena. He's been balling on 905.
Yeah, he has been. No, I'm actually really happy. I'm not claiming that at all. I really do mean that he's headed west a lot of time.
Yeah.
Speaking of heading west,
yeah.
this is a last-minute idea, but La Rose Bakery at La Rose Plaza. If you don't know about La Rose Plaza, this, you know, you don't need to know that much about it.
Yeah.
But if you are from the area, like I was from, Richview Road, if you lived in 1B Richview Road, at Scarlet and Eglinton, you probably have spent some time in La Rose Bakery. Yeah. They have
that place is good.
Have you been to La Rose?
Of course, man.
Why were you going to La Rose?
I used to work
Bakery?
For the TDSB, and I was in a different school every day.
Oh, wow.
Whenever I was at Hilltop, we'd go.
Oh, yeah, Hilltop. There we go. Hilltop. Listen.
Shout out Ben.
Shout out the French immersion program, Ben, right? That Ben was in. It's still no Frenchies on this side. So.
Oh, my gosh. So what do you want Stanley Johnson to get at La Rose?
Whatever he wants. A piece of lasagna, maybe like a pierogi. You know the vibes. It's like a Eastern European kind of menu, I would say. Yeah, but, you know, I mean, it's just cool if you go to the pizza there. I haven't been there forever. It's been like, 15 years, but there's a dollar store there, and if you talk nicely to the guy will sell you a pack of Yu-Gi-Oh cards for $4, which that's what I used to do. So yeah, that's my suggestion. Go to La Rose Bakery at La Rose Plaza. To finish out the show, before we go, let's clear out some YouTube comments.
All right. We have Jordan Colby. Will Ibaka be in the sixth man conversation?
He should be.
Yeah. Why not? I agree, but I think it's like Lou Will, Trez.
Mm-hmm.
You know who I'd love to see?
I'm tired of Lou Will getting it. Can Lou Will just chill for 1 year?
Can Ben McLemore break the six-man conversation?
He's starting, isn't he?
Is he starting regularly? I know he's coming off the bench for a while. Oh, if not, that's the case. The Rockets are pretty much unwatchable, though.
Yeah. It's Clever Next. Girl. Go Hernandez ahead. About to become the new Kawhi in these playoffs.
Okay.
all right. I mean, they spell Hernandez wrong. I've never seen Hernandez spelled wrong, but there was an extra E in there.
Ian Lewis, where does Giannis calling Kyle Lowry a great locker room guy while smiling rank in the top 10 Raptors moments of all time? If he comes to Toronto, that has to become a heritage moment.
Look.
It was very nice.
Oh, definitely. It was very nice. Look, listen, we may be getting too excited about something like this, but I mean, hey, it's nice. It's fun to flirt. And if we look back on this, you know when you go to a wedding and then they show like a video in the back of like how they got together, all these moments. You know, these moments will all be put there. You know, there'll be clues. There'll be Giannis coming out and all the Greek fans in Toronto after the game waiting for him.
And then OGBM saying pull up. Let me teach you about scarves.
He gets here, there's a giant Raptor scarf waiting for him. I can't wait, man.
That'd be awesome. Jurassic Mark. Any thoughts on Pascal's GQ appearance? Things you'd cop, things you'd roast. LOL, looks like you guys will be on GQ 10 Things in no time. That's fact.
All right, what's in on your GQ 10 Things?
My 10 Things?
Yeah, you know my 10 Things. I put them out after every game, so.
I guess like a humidifier.
Humidifier's a key. Wait, diffuser or humidifier?
Cold mist diffuser.
Humidifier. Cold mist diffuser. Yeah. Good.
I don't really, I got to prepare for
that's combined for 10. That's
okay,
that's
let's too do much five. Time for that. So humidifier, do you have one?
Do I have a humidifier? I have two.
No. Do you have a thing to be a 10 thing?
Stack of poker chips. I love shuffling poker chips.
A hat? I'm like a toque.
Yeah, definitely that's not a hat for me.
You don't have. You can't find hats.
H&M gift card.
That's a good one. Yeah. Ace Hill.
Okay.
An Ace Hill Pilsner.
Ace Hood for me Ace in the playlist.
Ace Hood's bezel. what else for me? Norm Powell UTG. A sweatshirt?
Grapes from Rabba's Fine Food. I feel like the grapes are very good.
The
very
grapes underrated. Are consistently good.
Very sweet all the time.
Oh, this is a real suggestion. Yeah. Sumo Citrus, only available from like right around now until the end of March. Mm-hmm. It's the best citrus fruit in the world. Yeah. That's an essential for me.
And KFC.
KFC. KFC, it's a leap to the sponsor. The thing, you know? A bucket before tonight's game.
That's my 10th thing.
Get one.
And the Jurassic Mark also said, why Isaiah Thomas be worth picking up his point guard insurance as a scoring option?
I'm good. Isaiah Thomas, or would you rather have Isaiah Thomas or Fred VanVleet Jr. because they wear the same shoe size?
Oh my god.
oh my
god.
I think that's a show.
That's the show. Wow, all right. Are you not gonna get these Alex Wong comments?
Do we want to read these Alex Wong comments?
Will looking good today. The hair. Period. I'm not sure what else it says. The scarf, jean jacket, test this guy for fashion steroids.
That's facts. Yeah. Will does look great today.
Yeah, it's only when I borrow my girlfriend's clothes when I look fashionable, but it is what it is, you know. That does for the podcast. All right.
Yeah, tune in next week. Mm-hmm. We love making it. All right, be good. Peace.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win, We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt. So throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.